This is Chapel for February 7th, 1963. The Student Coordinating Council is bringing our chapel with Mr. Alfred Otang, the speaker.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. May we pray. O God, as we come to you in the quietness of this moment, help us to worship. Give us a real sense of your presence. And as we see ourselves in the light of your holiness and perfection, help us to be able to judge ourselves and to see our sins. Forgive us for our sins, O God, and give us the strength and the courage and the honesty to do something about them. Give us a sense of compassion for our world. Help us not to be complacent and satisfied. We pray for our speaker this morning. Give him a message which will touch each one of us. We pray for his family, for his church. We pray for his country and his people. And we pray that his people may come to know you. And so help us to worship in these 3 moments together. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Our speaker this morning is well known to all of us. Most of us know him as Mr. Alfred Otang. His friends back home call him Kwabena. Alfred is a native of Ghana. He was born there and has spent most of his life in that country. He graduated from the Nigerian Baptist Theological Seminary in 1957. After he graduated, he served for about 6 months as a general field worker in Ghana, working with the indigenous peoples there. And then he resigned this position to take part in organizing an indigenous church in the city of Kumasi. And now this church has well over 100 members. It's housed in a very beautiful building. And so Alfred has done a great deal to help the cause of Christ in his country. He comes to us not only as a student, but also as a missionary sent from his people, from the Christians there in Ghana, to us here in America. And he has been a good missionary, for all of us have been impressed by his sense of sincerity and humility and warm friendliness. And so I know that all of us will listen attentively to what he has to say.
Rajesh, I thank you for what you've said about me. In fact, it gives me much pleasure to have this opportunity to speak to you this morning. I'm proud to be here this morning to speak to you because it's a history to me as the first Ghanaian to mount on your pulpit in this your beautiful sanctuary. This morning, I'm not going to talk on the missions very broadly because we had our speaker yesterday. I'm only going to talk about the work in Ghana, how the early missionaries started missions in Ghana, and then Southern Baptist Mission also came in. I also speak about the progress that has been made during this short period with Ghana come in contact with Southern Baptist Mission. My theme this morning is come to Ghana and help. Come to Ghana and help. This is a humble appeal. And I'm sure each one of you will take it into deep consideration and meditate on it. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." In Africa today, missions have done a great deal. People are hungry for the gospel of Christ. They've never heard the sweet name of Jesus. In Africa today, people are still worshiping stones, trees, rivers, and streams. They still follow the pagan worship of their great ancestors because they are still in darkness. Shall we leave these people to perish? Or are we going to save them from superstitions and ignorance? They need your help. Come to Africa and help. Christ commands us to go to all nations and preach the gospel to every creature. To me, the word go means go and conquer the world. Jesus does not tell us only to preach, but we are to go and conquer the lost world to him. Has the gospel reached the whole world? Even in America today, there are millions of people who have not yet heard the gospel of Christ. The Muslims are trying to win Africa. They are very strong in Africa. They want to wipe out Christianity from the continent of Africa. It is the responsibility of Christians to fight courageously to defeat our enemies. Also, communists are also trying to win the whole world. Missions have played an important role in the development of the new Africa. Through missions, we are trying to reach the lost world. Many missionaries have lost their lives for the cause of Christ. Some suffered of diseases, lived in unhygienic houses, separated from their children and dear ones. Through the untiring witnessing of the early missionaries, the gospel, like fire, keeps on burning in the hearts of men. On the field of missions, the Southern Baptist Mission has accomplished much in Africa. It has more missionaries on the foreign lands than any other denomination. The dynamic Southern Baptist Mission has contributed much toward the independent of the new, toward the development of the independent of the new African countries, especially Ghana and Nigeria. Now I'm going to tell you how the early missionaries visited Ghana. The first European seamen to visit Ghana were the Portuguese. At the beginning of the 15th century, Prince Henry of Portugal, who won for himself the honorable nickname of the Navigator for his interest, had conceived his plan of exploring the West African shore. In 1419, Prince Henry established his headquarters at Sagres and began his life work of organizing exploring expeditions along the West African coast. Later on, the French and the Danish also came. The Portuguese began to build castles and forts. The name Gold Coast was given by the Portuguese as they discovered many gold. These European settlers did not bother themselves about the spiritual conditions of the people. They were solely concerned of gold and slave trade. Their aim was to exploit the people. These people had come not to help the natives, but for their selfish ends. There arose a dispute among these exploiters, and as a result, the Portuguese left, and later on, the French and the Danish also left. They sold all their properties to the British settlers there. All this period, the people were worshippers of stones, trees, rivers, and streams. They've never heard the name of Jesus Christ. The first missionary to Ghana, then Gold Coast, was Thomas Thompson, who was appointed by the SPG, the Society for the Propagation of the Gospel, in the year 1751. Thompson returned to England in 1756 because of ill health. The people lost all hope, and the few who were converted went back to their ancestors' worship. Thomas, thus becoming the first Christian missionary pioneer to Ghana, then Gold Coast. Then later on, Reverend Thomas Birch Freeman, born in England in 1809, ordained and sent to Ghana, then Gold Coast, by the Wesleyan Missionary Society, worked there as an evangelist, as an administrator. In 1835, then he began to preach the gospel. The foundation of the first Wesleyan chapel was laid on the 14th of August, 1838, at Anamabu on the coast. In 1844, Freeman landed on the soil of the Ashantis. These Ashantis were the enemies of the coast people, They had always been troubling the coast people because the Ashantis were warriors. Freeman encountered many difficulties in preaching the gospel to the people of Ashanti. But anyway, he was able to break the barriers of ancestors' worship, and the people received the gospel. He also extended his work to Accra. He preached his first sermon at Cape Coast on the shore in 1841, and also started a Christian education in the same year with 150 students. Some of his students were grown-up men, but however, he tried to bring these people up. The students were very eager to learn. This method helped him to be successful in his great task. He won the admiration and favor of the people to whom he preached. Our Baptist denomination in Ghana is very new, so we have no written record of early Baptist mission work in Ghana. Baptist churches were established in Ghana, then Gold Coast, by some of Nigerian traders who had come to Gold Coast for trading purposes, because Gold Coast was a rich country. They, like the early Christians, identified themselves as true Baptists and established places of worship wherever they went. First, in a home, on a compound, rented rooms, and then in the buildings of other denominations. Later on, they built their own church buildings. Baptist work has its original in 1920. Our only high school was started in 1956 at Asakore Mampon, 4 miles from Kumasi, where our headquarters is. It was named after Dr. Sadler. The pastor school started the same year by Reverend W. Pohl. The pastor school developed into a seminary at present known as the Ghana Baptist Seminary, having its complete campus at Ebuakwa, 7 miles from Kumasi, with W. E. Verner as its first principal. Other schools have since been opened in the northern Ghana, Tamale. I hope Dr. Copeland, during his visit to Ghana, visited this our seminary. Just, it's a beginning. We need professors to teach in this school. We have only one missionary who's at the same time the principal, an instructor, and have one African instructor. This tells us the needs of missionaries in Ghana. The first indigenous church was started by Reverend H. R. Rittiton at Bowman, 20 miles from Kumasi, in 1952. Southern Baptist mission work started in Ghana in 1947. Reverend and Mrs. H. R. Rittiton were sent from Nigeria to Ghana, then Gold Coast, to work among the people. Reverend and Mrs. Idowu followed the same year as the first field worker of Ghana, then Gold Coast. Went from station to station with Mrs. Idowu, teaching the women WMU work. In 1947, the name Gold Coast Association was changed and has since been known as Gold Coast Conference, now Ghana Conference. At present, we have 16 indigenous pastors. Among these 16, about 4 of them are well-trained. We see the need of indigenous pastors to take up the responsibility of going about preaching to their own people. There are 17 missionaries at present serving on the mission field in Ghana. 6 on furlough and 6, unfortunately, have returned home on ill health. There lies the shortage of missionaries. There's only one missionary in Ghana who is free and serves as a missionary advisor. He is not concerned with any institution, office duty, and other duties. A missionary in Ghana may have one or two additional work to his assignment. And a missionary advisor may have about two associations to take care of, see the tedious how the work is. And these two associations may have about 40 churches, and this missionary advisor, throughout the whole year, he may not be able to visit even about 10 of these churches. See how the work is going slow in Ghana because of the shortage of missionaries. Then we have one hospital. The only Baptist hospital we have in Ghana is that at Ndarugu, northern Ghana. It is only hospital in Ghana which government allows to be known as a special hospital, for it receives no grant from the government. This hospital has its head, Dr. George W. Fail, having 2 other capable doctors. There is only one missionary nurse. We need more missionary nurses. I think Dr. Copeland visited this place too. And see, our only hope for the expansion of Baptist work in Ghana depends on this hospital, which is situated in the northern Ghana among pagans. There's no other mission working in this place, with the exception of Southern Baptist Mission. And we need more missionaries there. We need more doctors, especially nurses, who will train our women to take care of our children. Dr. Fail, as a medical officer, has tried to win many converts to our Baptist work, because the people, it is very easy in Ghana to convert a pagan than to convert a Muslim. Because the pagans, they know that there is only one God, but in the way to worship God, that makes them different. Then we have Baptist Press. The Baptist Press, the necessity of having a Baptist Press for our Baptist work in Ghana became known when Reverend and Mrs. Howard Smith came to Ghana. Land was acquired and work on the property started immediately. The building has completed and dedicated on the 26th November 1961. There is a great hope for the Baptist work in future. There is still enough room for evangelism in Ghana. It would not be too much to say that the harvest is great, the laborers are few. Ghana needs more energetic missionaries of devotion to help evangelism, evangelizing the whole country. Come all and help in the Lord's vineyard. We've come here as missionaries, and we need to witness for the Master. Our professors are giving us the theory, but we are lack of the practical side. Our people, when we were coming, they told us to study the system of Christianity in America. They urged us to visit your churches and see how you organize your churches, how your women work. And in fact, it will be a great disappointment to us if we go back home and our people ask us, how do the American people worship? What do you find in their churches? And to their amazement, I will say, I was rejected in their churches. What would be the feelings of our people? What would be their attitude toward our missionaries in Ghana? I hope you, as pastor students, will help us to see more about the work in your great country. In fact, we've been impressed by your friendly talks, by the gifts you've been receiving from churches, coming to your homes to eat with you. We are much impressed. And I hope the memory of America will ever remain in our minds when you go back to Ghana. We pray that all of us may tighten our belts and put on the armor of God to fight as soldiers of Christ and win the whole world to Christ. I know our people need to be educated. They need to be taught. And we are the people to enlighten our people. If we pastors in this school fail to enlighten our people about God's concern for all men, then we have failed our duty. Because God concerns of all men. All men are equal before God. Our God is a universal God. And therefore, we need to educate.